I've been working on, and I don't say that I've completed the topic. It's the topic which will deal with the Chalukah, the division of the Tanakh. One of the most difficult problems of all, let me just raise an issue. I mentioned it to Phil a few moments ago. We read Parshat Ha'azinu. In Parshat Ha'azinu, we had a Haftorah. Vayedaber David et Hashira Hazot LaHashem. That came from the Nevi'im, but who sang the song? David HaMelech. Yet the major part of Sefer Tehillim, which is also the song of David HaMelech, comes from what we call in English the Hagiographia, or the Ktuvim. Or somehow it's called writings, but the word that you find in most English literature is Hagiographia. And the question is, what are we dealing with here? How does one define primarily what are the Nevi'im and what are the Ktuvim? How does one define them? Let me ask a number of questions. You know, a Jew begins by asking a question. First of all, who needs this definition? Why could we not say that we have Chof Dalet Sifrei Kodesh, 24 books which are our Bible? Why do we have to say Torah and Nevi'im and Ketuvim? Why is this necessary? Of course, what is the difference between the Nevi'im and Ketuvim? Why is the book of Shoftim and Shmuel in the Nevi'im and Megillat Rut is in the Ketuvim? According to Chazal, Shmuel Hanavi wrote all of them. So if Shoftim and Shmuel are in Nevi'im, so should the book of Megillat Rut. And yet Megillat Rut is in the Ketuvim and not in the Nevi'im. These are burning questions, I think. How does one understand this definitive, and it is definitive, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, as we're going to see in a few minutes? How is one to understand it? And finally, was there a kind of hachra'ah, what should I call it, was there really on the part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, was there a canonization of the Bible, or there was not a canonization? This, I think, fits. We're going to finish the first part, Torah, in less than 48 hours. Let's try to understand what's in Torah, what's in Nevi'im, and what's in Ketuvim. And of course, our approach will be the approach of our Chazal. There are many other approaches. There's a Greek approach. There's a Roman approach. There's a Latin approach to how to canonize, quote-unquote, the Bible. Let us deal with what our Chazal have to say about it. The source, the basic source for all of the Sfarim in Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim is the Gemara in Bava Batra, Daf Yudalid Amud Bet. The Gemara brings a Braita, a Tanaitic source, which says as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, Sidran Shel Nevi'im. Now, there is no, the Braita accepts that Chumash is Bereshit Shmot Vayikra Bamidbar and Dvarim, although we'll see shortly that even within these books, we're going to see that Chazal have created a problem for us. But Sidran Shel Nevi'im, what is included in Nevi'im, Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, Yirmiah, Yecheskel, Yeshayahu, Vishneim Asar, meaning Trei Asar. Asks the Gemara. Now this is the statement of the Braita, the Tanaitic statement. On this the Gemara starts asking a question. Michdei, let's see, what are we talking about? Hoshea Kadim. Let's assume that the book of Hosea at this moment should really be before all of them. Why? Dichtiv. There is a pasuk, Tchilat Diber Hashem Behoshea. And the Talmud doesn't mean that the first words to Hosea, but the beginning of revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to Hosea. Asks the Gemara, V'chi im Hosea diber tchila, V'halo mimoshe v'ad Hosea, kama nevim hayu. First of all, says the Gemara, let's look at this historically. Was Hosea really the first of the prophets? There were many before him. The Yomar Rabbi Yochanan Shahayat Chilal Arba Nevi'im Shenitnabu Be'oto HaPerek. Hosea was the first of four Nevi'im. The Eluhain, Yehoshua, Yeshayahu, Amos, Umicha. Asks the Gemara, V'ligdemei LeHosea Bereisha. Okay. Why is the book of Hosea, which is in Treyasar, one of our 12 prophets, why isn't it put before Yeshayahu? Answers the Talmud, Kevan dechtiv nevuatei gabi chavgei zechariya umalachi, vechavgei zechariya umalachi sof nevim avi choshiv lei bahadei velichtevei lochudei velikadmi. What is it doing at the end of Treyasar? Why isn't it brought earlier? Answers the Talmud, Aide de Zutar Mirchas. It is very small, and it's a small book, and if we're going to put it by itself, we may lose the book of Hosea. We have to go through this entire piece of Gemara, and then we can begin to understand what we want to say here. Says the Gemara, Michdei Yishayahu Kodem Yirmiyahu V'Yecheskel L'Kadmei L'Yishayahu Bereisha. Why do we say what we're saying here? We should have Yishayahu at the beginning. Answers the Gemara, Kivan de Melachim Sofa Churbana. The Yirmiyahu Kulei Churbana, the end of Melachim is destruction. And the book of Yirmiyahu is primarily, Kulei doesn't mean completely, because there are Divrei Nechama in Yirmiyahu, is primarily Churban. The Yecheskel Reisha Churbana V'Seifa Nechamta, the Yeshayahu Kula Nechamta, Samchinan Churbana LeChurbana V'Nechemta LeNechemta. Says there is a reasoning for this. We first finish with all that has to do with destruction in the Jewish people, then we come to those that are in between, and then finally to complete Nechama. Now we come to the Ktuvim. Now the Talmud continues. Sidran shel Ktuvim, Rut, v'Sefer Tehilim, v'Iyov, Umishle, Kohelet, Shirashirim, V'Kinot, Kinot is Megillat Eicha, Daniel, Megillat Esther, Ezra, V'Divrei Hayamim. Asks the Talmud, Uleman diamar Iyov v'me Moshe haya, Ligdeme Iyov Bereisha. There are various opinions in the Talmud. When did this fellow who suffered so much by the name of Job, when did he live? And there is a very serious opinion that Job lived at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he should be put before the rest of the Ketuvim. We don't know why these are Ketuvim yet. Answers the Gemara, Itchulei bepuranata lo matchil. That book of Iyov is so sad. We're not going to start the Ketuvim with a book which is just talking about the destruction of the life of a man, even though at the end there's a kind of a happy ending, but the book is basically, oh, can we learn from that book? Every time we open the radio, when we listen to read the newspapers, and we hear that a Rav says, I know why this is going to happen, or I guarantee you that this is not going to happen. This is the most poisonous thing in the world. It is against everything that we have. The Sefer Iyov teaches us that human beings do not know the way of God, and they don't have a message. They're not sure of the way of God. Do you know how much suffering has been caused by a major rabbi in this country saying, it's not going to take place? Where does he know it? What about Sefer Iyov? What about Sefer Iyov that says you're not allowed to say something like this? You know the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Anyway, the Talmud says we don't want to put this in first. Then says the Talmud, Rut Nami Puraniyati. Rut is also not exactly in its beginning such a very happy book. It's the destruction of a family. So how is Rut put as the first book in the Ketuvim? Answers the Gemara, Puraniyot de Itle Achrit, de Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lama Nikra Shema Rut, She Yatsami Menu David, She Ritula Kodosh Baruch Hu Beshirot Vetishpachot. It's not very good. It's a great book, says the Gemara. Because from the book of Rut, there came Malchut to the Jewish people, there came kingdom, and there came the Sefer of Tehillim. Now we come to our problem. Umi Katvan. Who wrote these books? Says the Talmud. Moshe Katav Sifro Uparshat Bilam V'Iyov. This opinion we had already with Iyov. Iyov lived at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. But what's this business of Moshe Katav Sifro V'Parshat Bilam? Where is Parshat Bilam? In the middle of the Parsha of Balak, correct? In the middle of the book of Bamidbar. Of course Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. What does the Talmud mean when it says, Moshe Katav Sifro Uparshat Bil'am? This brings us to a great machloket in Rishonim. What do we mean by Parshat Bil'am? There are Rishonim that say that there was a book. Bilam, the entire magic of Bilam, the entire way of Bilam, is brought in a very short manner in Parshat Balak. But Moshe Rabbeinu wrote an additional Sefer, a Sefer which explained what was the place of Bilam in the world. This is an opinion in some of the Rishonim. Other Rishonim say no. Moshe Katav Sifro. There is no problem with Bereshit. There is no problem with Shmot. There is no problem with Vayikra. There is no problem with most of Bamidbar, because Moshe Rabbeinu received this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what is Moshe Katav Sifro? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that the Sefer Dvarim, which is basically the address of Moshe Rabbeinu, the tochacha, etc. of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this at the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who said, the words that you used are my words. And what is Bilam? Well, say some of the Rishonim, the book of Bilam is basically something which Moshe Rabbeinu had no mesorah about. All of the things in the Torah, in Bereshit, there was a consistent mesorah from Adam on what happened. Bilam was out there among the goyim, and Moshe Rabbeinu basically did not have this mesorah, did not have the tradition what happened. This is the Ritva's opinion. And the Ribono Shel Olam had to teach Moshe Rabbeinu who was this Bilam, and that it's to be included in the Torah. Yehoshua Katav Sifro. Yehoshua wrote his book. Here, I'd like to show you how difficult is the problems that we deal with. Most, for example, if you look at the Sefer Yehoshua that was put out by Mosad Arav Kook in this set, this very, very fine set on Tanakh, he goes through a lot to prove that Sefer Yehoshua was written by Yehoshua. But there are, first of all, the last chapter in Yehoshua, the Gemara says was written by Elazar and Pinchas, because it says Yehoshua died, and there's a number of things afterwards. Very similar, but we're not going to go into this. I spoke about this about 7 years ago here, about the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah, the last 8 Psukim in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, who wrote these Psukim. Then there is a problem with the fact that in many places in Yehoshua it says Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now, if Yehoshua wrote it, then there must have been a long period afterwards, Ad Hayom Hazeh. The Abarbanel does something here, and then we're going to see the reaction to him. The Abarbanel says as follows in his introduction to Sefer Yehoshua, and I invite everybody for homework until the next shiur to read Dan Yitzhak Abarbanel's introduction to Sefer Yehoshua, to see how he structures what we call Nevi'im, or prophets. And he says as follows, the kasher iyanti bepsukim ra'iti hadat hazeh sheYehoshua katav sifro rachok me'ot. This is pretty dangerous stuff we're stepping on. Please note, Reb Dan Yitzhak Abarbanel, who certainly believes in Torah Mesinai in the fullest sense of the word, but he says, I cannot say that Yehoshua primarily wrote his Sefer. Lo ba'avur ma shenemar besofo vayomot Moshe, ki im ba'avur haktuvim she ba'atzmam melamdim shelo katvam Yehoshua. Who is it that attacks the Abarbanel in a very, very strong manner? One of the greatest minds that we ever had, Reb Tzedek HaKohen miLublin. Reb Tzedek HaKohen, in his Sefer, Or Zaruah LaTzadik, says as follows, and you'll see here we find something, and you'll say, wow, this is the stuff that's going on all in our time too, exactly the same kind of stuff. Listen to this, what he says there. He says, Lo achached ki heitav harali alav. I am very angry with the Abarbanel, he says. Why am I angry? Masha shachachet mihu medaber v'chashav ki'ilu yedaber im chavero v'asher lamdo ito yachad bebeit sefer echad asher mitoch eze kushiyot kalot yitched v'divreihem kitchot davar echad ha'am. Who does this Abarbanel think he is? Does he think that Chazal are his buddies? That he's sitting with them together and he's saying to them, okay, you said that, but I don't agree with you? Who are you, Abarbanel? Where did you get the chutzpah to say something like this? Doesn't it sound familiar? Let's go on. V'shachach ki et chazal balei ha-talmud hu mitchare, asher kol divreihem gachalei eish, umiyom shenistam ha-talmud ein reshut af im yitkapsu kol chachmei Yisrael mikol adorot gam yachad lachrok al kol shehu mimenu umidivrei ha-magdoshim. If every rabbi, says Reb Tzedek HaKohen, if all the rabbis in the world were to get together and say, we don't accept this opinion of the Talmud, we'd have to throw the rabbis out. The Talmud is the primary authority of our people. Anyway, he continues going on. He says, actually, the Abarbanel wants to apologize, but I can't accept his apology. The truth is, we're not learning Yehoshua. But if we learned Yehoshua, as I say, the Gemara itself says that Yehoshua didn't write this book in its entirety. It was also written by Elazar, the son of Aharon, and by Pinchas. But if you carefully read through it, you have to say that, you know, Reb Tzedek HaKohen, not in his style, but his argument is very strong if you really examine the text, that the text is primarily written by Yehoshua. Okay, but then we can go on, we go on. Yirmiyahu katav sifro, says the Talmud, v'sefer melachim v'kinot. Again, we come to a problem. If Yirmiyahu wrote Sefer Melachim is obviously in the Nevi'im, correct? His book, Yirmiyahu, is in the Nevi'im. Where is Kinot? In the Ketuvim. Who is the man who writes the Kinot? A Navi b'Yisrael. Yirmiyahu HaNavi writes, according to the Talmud, three books. Two of them are put into the classification of Nevuah, and one is put into the classification of, let's call it, sacred writings or hagiographia. What's going on here? What's going on here? How is one to understand this that we have here? Incidentally, a great Talmid Chacham from the Hungarian school, Reb Moshe Teitelbaum, in his Sefer Yismach Moshe, asks a very basic question. If Yirmiyahu was so broken when he wrote about the Churban in Megillat Eicha, how could he have written something which is holy when anything which is written that's in Kitvei HaKodesh has to be written by a human being that has all of his facilities mitoch dvar shel simcha? Asks this great Hungarian sefer, the Yismach Moshe, how did he write? And he says, v'tzorich iyun gadol. It was something that bothered me until I saw a very, very great Achron who wrote on the Rambam, Rebbe Lazar Segel Lando, in his Sefer Yad HaMelech, in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet. And he says, you've got it all wrong. Yirmiyahu, when he wrote the book of Eicha, it pained him about the Jewish people. But he himself, in understanding the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in understanding the ways of Torah, he lived his own personal life in a great personal satisfaction in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, there is such a thing in this world as genuinely feeling sorry for what is happening to our people, but you've got both of your feet on the ground, and you're the same person when you speak in Tochacha as when you speak in Nechama. This is what the Yad HaMelech has to say about this. Now, it's about time that we started getting into the basic definition. Without going further into the Gemara, lots of things. We could take that piece of Gemara and we could spend 2 hours now on learning, but I only have about a half hour left. And the most difficult thing in all, basically, is to be able to see what is the approach of the greatest minds of Klal Yisrael in defining Nevi'im and Ketuvim. This is extremely difficult. I admit it, with much contradiction and great machloket within the definition. The Rambam, this is well known, the Rambam in the Mora Nebuchim, in Perek Bet, the Rambam presents what he considers the definition of something which is benevuah and something which is beruach hakodesh. He says, you know what? I have an English translation. Instead of reading since the time is late, and I'll read from an English translation, so it'll... This is in English, the shiur, right? It's not in Hebrew. It's in English. Okay. Okay. And it says like this. There is a degree where such a person is set to speak by the Holy Spirit. David composed the Psalms, and Solomon the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon by this Spirit. Also, Daniel, and when it comes to Daniel, we're going to have lots of problems. Also, Daniel, Eov, Divrei Hayamim and the rest of the Ketuvim were written in this Holy Spirit. Therefore, they are called writings, Ketuvim, written by men inspired by the Holy Spirit. Our sages mention this expressly concerning the book of Esther. In reference to such Holy Spirit, King David says, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke in me, and his word is on my tongue." The Rambam continues, and I'll sort of cut him short here by saying that there is a degree of revelation which is called prophecy. This is a degree of revelation which can be divided in two. There is the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to him, it's called Ba'aspaklaria HaMe'ira, in the clearest sense of the word, in a complete comprehension, in a wakened state, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to receive the word of Hashem panim el panim. There is a lower degree of prophecy in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, says the Rambam, to individuals, apparently, although he doesn't say it, telling them that they are to prophesy. They're supposed to give this nevuah over. We'll get to that a little bit later. But these people are not in awakened sense. They're almost, they don't know where they are at the moment, but they very clearly get the message. Ruach HaKodesh is a lower degree, the degree of Ketuvim. Ruach HaKodesh, says the Rambam, is a degree in which man feels he's going to have to say something. It's coming inwardly from him, but he knows it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he does not say, Ko Amar Hashem, so has God said to me. He presents what he has to say, but nowhere can quote directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Abarbanel, you know, on the Mora Nevochim, there is a Perush of the Abarbanel. And the Abarbanel, the same Abarbanel that we just talked about here that was so attacked by Reb Tzadok HaKohen, the Abarbanel says, you know, his definition is fairly good, but I have great problems, especially with Daniel. In Daniel's situation, there is definitely a kind of speaking by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Daniel. This is a higher degree than the degree of Ketuvim, of this sacred kind of revelation. Says the Abarbanel, you could be a Navi, and this fits in very well with something else, and you can write certain books because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to write them, and at other times you write books, says the Abarbanel, but you don't have that higher degree of revelation, the degree of nevuah. And he says, that's basically what happened to Yirmiyahu when Yirmiyahu wrote his own book and when he wrote the book of Eicha. It's the same Yirmiyahu HaNavi, but in Yirmiyahu, he receives this as a kind of Ko Amar Hashem, you tell the Jewish people. And in the book of Eicha, it's not so. But here again, we don't know what is so. What is so? Let's go a little further and see what other Rishonim have to say about this. Somebody else who deals with this problem and basically agrees with the Rambam is the Radak, Reb David Kimchi, the Radak that we find so much in Tanakh. However, he says as follows. Chiber Ezra zeh ha-sefer b'kitfei ha-kodesh, talking about Divrei Hayamim, al yedei Chagai Zechariah Malachi ha-nevim ha-achronim, v'chibro im ha-ktuvim, v'lo im ha-nevim, לפי שהוא סיפור דברי הימים, אף על פי שיש בכללם קצת נבואות, נכתב לספר דברי הימים והייחוסים, נכתב ונכלל עם הכתובים כמו ספר רות, שנכתב לספר ייחוס ונכתב עם הכתובים גם כן. And I know you're going to have a question immediately. He says, what's, you have to say here, something which is written for history's sake, even if it has some prophecy in it, is put into Ketuvim. So I expect every hand to go up. So why is Yehoshua and Shoftim and the two books of Shmuel, or one book of Shmuel and the book of Malachim? The Rishonim seem to say as follows. The books of the Nevi'im Rishonim, Yehoshua, Shoftim, etc., were books that are a completion of the promise of the Ribono Shel Olam in his Torah. They are not primarily books of the history. They are primarily books. The Torah says you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael and you have to have a Chalukah in Shvatim, right? You have to have the land divided. What does the book of Yehoshua deal with? The Chalukah in Shvatim. What is the book of Shoftim? What is the book of Shmuel and Malachim? The building of the Beis HaMikdash, the place that was chosen for yourself. In other words, if the book is primarily for the purpose of, I would say, a complement to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, as is Yehoshua Shoftim, says the Radak, and Shmuel and Malachim, but it complements the Torah. It comes to show, to complete all of the promises which were given us in Torah. These were included in Nevi'im. They had to be said. From the word Nevi'im means to express something here. But books which have historical matter, such as Divrei Hayamim, such as Rut, says the Radak, that's very fine. But they are not in Nevi'im, but they are in Ketuvim. We're going to now go over to, I think, a very interesting point that we just completed in Rosh Hashanah. You know, in Rosh Hashanah, the Talmud tells us that we are to say 10 verses in Malchiot, 10 verses in Zichronot, and 10 verses in Shofarot. Right? We're supposed to have 10 verses, of which they are to come 3 from the Torah, 3 from the Ketuvim, 3 from the Nevi'im, and then a pasuk from the Torah at the end. Says the Abudraham, what's going on here? Let's look at what we say. We say something which is very interesting. He says as follows. First of all, why do we say the verses of the Ketuvim before we say the verses of the Nevi'im? If you'll notice, the verses, all the verses in the Shmona Esrei of Musaf, this is, I tell you, every time I get to the Shmona Esrei, I just don't know how you can ever finish it. It is the most beautiful tefillah that we have all year. The tefillah with Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. But in all of this, in this tefillah, the Ketuvim are brought before the Nevi'im. So he says, V'hatam shemadimim psukei Ketuvim le'Nevi'im, yesh lomar shezehu le'inyan kedushatan, שחמורה קדושת הנביאים מהכתובים לפי שהנביאים נאמרו ברוח הנבואה והכתובים ברוח הקודש, אבל לעניין הקדמתן הכתובים היו קודם. All of the verses from the כתובים come from Sefer Tehillim. Most of Sefer Tehillim was written by David HaMelech. David HaMelech comes before all of the verses in Nevuah, and therefore chronologically we have to bring them first. However, then what he says is as follows: V'im tomar lama eino omer b'psukei haktuvim va'al yedei avadecha hakdoshim kamo shenamar b'psukei hanavim va'al yedei avadecha hanavim v'yesh lomar. מפני שפסוקי הנביאים נאמרו בשליחות הנביאים לאמרם לישראל. לפיכך אמר בהם, ועל ידי עבדיך, what are these servants to do? הנביאים, they are to speak to the Jewish people. The Navi is to speak. When it comes to the Ksuvim, to the Ktuvim, we don't find that. Aval Shektuvim lo ne'emru b'shlichut. They were primarily to be written. And then maybe people could read them. Ela ne'emru b'ruach hakodesh, lefikach ne'emar bahem, u'bedivrei kotshecha. What's the next word, people? Katuv le'emor. He says this is the definition of nevuah and ketuvim. That which is to be said to the people. And by the way, not all of nevuah that was said to the people do we have in Tanakh, because the Talmud tells us nevuah shenitzracha ledorot. The nevuah that was needed for generation was written. But nevuah is that revelation, says the Abu Draham, that revelation which is a command to say, then maybe it can be written. Ktuvim, the command was to write, primarily to write, and therefore it says, Val yedei avadecha hanevi'im. Avadecha, navi. Navi is somebody who must speak. And when it comes to Ktuvim, he says, it says, the what does it say there? Ubedivrei kotshecha katuv lemor. The Maharal Prag puts another dimension into this definition. And he says as follows. There is a difference between Torah, Nevi'im, and Ktuvim. And the ikar of Torah, he says, is halacha. Listen carefully. Nevuah, the prophecy, that's what the Nevi'im do. They speak of the future. The case, the ultimate geula, comes in the Ketuvim. Asks Rabbi Yonatan Eipshitz in his tremendous sefer, Ahavat Yehonatan, don't understand what you're saying here. Why couldn't the Nevi'im speak of the case? What are you saying? The Nevi'im are to prophesize what's going to happen to you. But the Nechama, the case, which we find the case when Daniel in books, the Ezra, primarily Daniel, that's in Ketuvim. Why couldn't it be in Nevuah? Says Rabbi Yonatan Eipshitz, a tremendous. I think some of you may have heard this idea. If you heard it, I think it's something we must always remember. He says, למה לא גילה הקדוש ברוך הוא את הקץ על ידי עבדיו הנביאים? לפי דעים הנביא מוציא הדיבור מכוח לפועל. In other words, the Navi says this redemption will take place at this and this time, if we were to know what it is. שוב אינו חוזר. Nothing could be done to change the date. The Navi is to speak. And he received it, the Derech HaNevuah. And if he were to give the case, you know what would be? V'im Yisku Yisrael b'tshuva, the tshuva couldn't help. Because if the Navi said when the ultimate redemption will come, that's unchangeable, says Rabbi Yonatan Eipshitz. V'ilu haya Hashem yidbarach megale hakeitz al yedei avadav hanavim shuv eino yachol lachzor. Lekach histir Hashem yidbarach et hakeitz uledaniel hera rak b'mar'eh b'b'chinat halev mevin haynu lo b'b'chinat dibur. Remember, ktuvim are not primarily spoken, they are written. Veliba lepumye logalia. The what is in the Almighty's heart to the mouth was never revealed. The Navi cannot speak of the case, because then we couldn't say that Shuva could do anything to bring the case earlier, to bring the redemption earlier. It couldn't take place. And therefore, says Rabbi Yonatan Apshitz, I want you to understand, Torah is the structure of halacha. Nevuah is speaking to the people of what's going to happen to them in the future. The ultimate comfort of Geula has to be in the Ketuvim. Very interesting approach. Again, I say, you can see the struggle here in defining Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. It's very easy. All the modern Bible scholars say, throw this all out. There's nothing. It's all one big thing. It's one thing called Bible. But we see that the Gemara specifically defines something as Torah, something else as Nevi'im, and something else as Ketuvim, and we are bound to see if we can comprehend what is the difference between Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. The Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, Reb Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, a very, very great man. You know that what he wrote, I'm sure that everybody knows. I don't think that anybody who learns Chumash will probably learn without understanding the Hameg Davar, and everybody has homework before Shabbat Bereshit. If we want to open that Chumash this year, everybody is to study one single page in the Netziv, the Pticha, the Sefer Bereshit. Boy, will that put us in the right place. What is our place in life? One single place, one single page. Pticha, the Sefer Bereshit. The Netziv says as follows. The difference between Torah and Nevi'im were written in a language which would be called Lashon HaTorah, and Ketuvim was written B'Lashon B'nei Adam. He goes into a long discussion that there is a very specific style in Torah and Nevi'im that's not in Ketuvim. And he brings a Gemara, which I'd like to share with you, to sort of prove this point. He says as follows. There's a Gemara in Bava Batra, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Bet. The Gemara asks the following question. Im Adam Kore Libno Banai. He calls, he says, he's writing a tzava, he says, I'm giving my sons. He has a son and a daughter. I'm giving my sons, but he hasn't got sons, he's only got one son. What do we mean by the statement, Im Adam Kore Livno Banai? Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, we can prove it. Ubne Palu Eliav. There is a pasuk in Bamidbar when he speaks of Shevet Reuven that the Torah says, Bnei Palu, the sons of Palu, the sons of Palu, Eliav. So we find, so therefore we find that the word Banai can even mean one. That now comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yosef Amar, Ubnei Otan Azaria. This is in Divrei Hayamim. It's in Shevet Yehuda, where it says that Bnei Otan is Azaria. Asks the Minchat Shai, I don't understand something. After Rava brought a pasuk from the Torah in order to prove the point that Banai can mean one son, do you have to bring something from Divrei Hayamim? Why are you bringing something from Divrei Hayamim, says the Minchat Shai? Says the Netziv, I don't understand you. What are we speaking about? The human being's expression. What a human being expresses. A human being speaks Kedivrei Bnei Adam. If you want to bring a proof, where do you have to bring a proof? From that portion of the Bible that speaks in human terms and not in Torah terms. Therefore, the Talmud has to bring the Pasuk and Divrei Hayamim in order to prove the point. Let's go now to one of the real Achronim, very fashionable today to speak about the Soloveitchik family. And we're going to talk about a chidush that Rabbi Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik brings in the name of his father, Reb Chaim. Chaim says as follows. The difference between Nevi'im and Ketuvim was that the Navi, basically this part is very good, the Navi had to speak first, and then perhaps it was to be written. Did you remember what the Gemara said about Yechezkel? Yechezkel was written and put into Tanakh by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Yechezkel spoke. Nevuah means lihitbatei b'sfatayim, to express yourself. Later, it can be written. And the Ketuvim, he says, is the other way around. You're not supposed to speak, you're supposed to write them, and then afterwards, they may be said. So he says, Yirmiyahu received two prophecies to give the king of Yoyakim. One was to say something immediately Baal Peh, and the second was the command to Baruch ben Neriah to write. Two separate things. He says one was the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu, and the other was Megillat Eicha. To write. You have to write this first, and then it can be spoken. With this, says Reb Chaim, I understand. Remember what we talked about, the psukim of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofrot? He says basically what we said earlier. Therefore, the Torah says, Va'al Yedei Avadecha HaNeviim. When you come to the prophecy, it's got to be Nevuah first. And the other is B'divrei Kotshecha Katuv Lemor. With this, says Reb Chaim, we can answer a number of questions, and I'm only going to bring one example, because if I look at my watch, and Rav Fendel deserves all the time that he needs, I think he's here, but I saw him around, and so therefore we will stop exactly on time, and we'll say that I owe you something. But let's see what he says like this. The Gemara asks as follows. Listen to this. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Shalcha lahem Esther lechachamim kitvuni ledorot. Esther said, my book is worthwhile to be in Kitvei HaKodesh. No, can't do it. Ad sheyimsu la mikra katuv, the Talmud says as follows, Ketov zot zichron baseifer, Ketov zot ma shekatuv kanu b'mishne Torah. We have twice Amalek mentioned in the Torah, once in Shemot, Ketov zot, and once in Dvarim, the Zacharit asher alcha Amalek. Zichron, says the Talmud, ma shekatuv b'nevim, b'sefer, ma shekatuv b'megillah, says Reb Chaim, look at that. In order to speak, what do you need? Zichron. Zichron is what's written in the book of Shmuel about Amalek. Zichron. But Zichron is Nevuah. Mashe Katuv B'Sefer, that's going to be, we can write the Megillat Esther, because it's going to be written in a book before it's going to be spoken. Find the struggle, this tremendous struggle, to try to define all of this. This chutzpinik wants to say, that's me, that in terms of the approach of the Gemara in Bava Batra, canonization as we understand it, if you'll take out, you'll take the Encyclopedia Judaica, and you'll read the article on Bible, I wish they would have worried about bringing a little more of the traditional approach. It's It's a pretty, pretty negative approach to everything that we have, but our Torah will remain and their Torah will disappear. All of these theories, they come and they go, but Kitvei HaKodesh will remain. We find, I'm not so sure there was a complete canonization of the Bible. In other words, when the Navi was commanded to say what he said, and it was written, at that time that was canonized. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, and it was canonized. And therefore we don't need canonization. The only time we may need canonization is at the end of the period of Anshei Knesset HaGdola. There were a number of books that they wrote and put into Kitvei HaKodesh and rejected such books as Ben Sira from being in Kitvei HaKodesh. So I want to say that it seems to me that if one begins with the Gemara in Bava Batra, he must come to the conclusion that that concept of canonization as understood by many Bible scholars doesn't fit into our traditional approach. Let's stick to our traditional approach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with our attempt to understand what did Chazal mean, with that thirst for learning, may we have a good kvittel, v'teitiv lanu hachatima, tula eretz al blima.